Hey guys, welcome to Motivation
Tuesday.
We didn't go live yesterday for Motivation Monday. We're going live today for Motivation Tuesday, because who doesn't need a little motivation every day?
Yep. And today is Tuesday, which is the third day of the week.
What?
For those who don't count Sunday as the first day.
Oh, and you guys may notice, like, we're in a different location right now. We're not in the studio.
That may not be obvious. Wait.
We're in our kitchen / living room. Like, the kitchen area is that way. And then the living area, see that TV? We actually own one in our home. Just one. We own two TVs? Oh, yeah. They're both Gabrielle's. I forgot we put one in her room.
No, I use them on Sunday to watch Eagles.
Mm-hmm. That's the only time they get turned on. What about you guys? Do you watch a lot of TV or not? I don't know. Today we're going to be talking about your sixth sense, which is your sales sense. And before we do that, I want to read this testimonial because I thought it was really awesome. If you guys were on Jeffrey's virtual sales seminar that kicked off last week, it was like on fire. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey, if I may say so myself, you were on fire.
I want to say hello to Adam.
Hi, Adam.
I want to say hello to Brian.
Brian, the great Ken Walls.
Whoa, all right,
so here's what Gary said. He sent us an email, and he said, first session was, and then in all caps, excellent. 2 exclamation points. Gittimer is always the best. And Gary, I have
and
to
he's
agree
correct,
with
by
you.
The way. He is marked down to me as one of the excellent judges of the world.
Okay, and then we got one more testimonial that just came in from Blake this morning that says, whoa, now that was mind-blowing and life-changing. I am taking action right now and putting Jeffrey's formula for competitive advantage to use. Boom. Great. Thank you. How cool is that?
Wait, Jen, you have your boom sweatshirt on.
I do. It's just a... I don't know which way to go.
On TV, it looks like moo. Okay. Oh, there it is. Boom. Got it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was like some collaboration that designers had with Target, and I had to get it.
I'm going to get my shirt.
Oh, thank you, Ken, for sharing. That brings up a great... You're buttoning it or unbuttoning it?
Unbuttoning it.
Oh, because in your seminar, you actually unbuttoned it, and I was like, what's going on? And we had you full screen, and it was hysterical. Ken, thank you for sharing it. You guys, share this out. Let's get this out to lots of people
Yes.
who we can help. We want to help more and more people. Ken says, share this or you won't something.
Live.
Make a sale for the next 2 weeks. Oh my God, it's like one of those chain letters. I love it. So we're going to be talking about your sixth sense, your sales sense. And can I give a little background about this?
Sure.
Okay. So for the last like 48 hours I've been with our dog, like just our dog, me and Charlie, because she got hurt and I had to take her 3 hours away to a specialty hospital. And she's going to be fine for those of you who are worried. But anyway, it's just like because we spent so much like alone time together and I took her everywhere, I was just thinking about like how cognizant she is when she meets people. She knows immediately whether they're a good person or a bad person and whether or not to say hi to them or not, whether or not to engage with them or not. Like she has that sixth sense. And so then I started thinking like, well, we all need that sixth sense when it comes to selling. You need that sales sense. And so today we're going to be talking about your sixth sense, which is like your sales sense that you may or may not have. And if you're in our 2020 group, where we chat with you every Sunday or Monday night, you know, and answer your questions and help you out. We talked a little bit about this last night, but we're going to go into more detail about it today. And by the way, if you're interested in getting involved in that group, well, we'll put a link in here, but I think it's just like 2020salesvision.com. Ken says, is that why she bit me when I met her? I'm pretty sure. No, remember when Mark Steinberg was here?
Yeah.
So Mark is one of our friends and customers, and he's sitting on my chair, and Charlie came into the house, and like she's never done this before, just jumped up into his lap.
Yeah.
Like almost like hugged him, and I was like, oh, like she knows. He's amazing.
So... fast backward.
Yeah.
20-something years ago, I had my cat in the house, Leto, and I would judge people by if the cat liked you or the cat did not like you. And if, like, if Leto would ignore you, I knew there was something wrong. If Leto would come over and, like, nudge up against you and rub you, you were fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, it was right 100% of the time.
Just FYI, if Leto would have nudged me, I may have died.
Yeah, well, because you're allergic to cats. But that's, I'm telling you, the cat had a sense of who
yes,
was okay and who was not okay.
They just know.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is that they don't have, like, we have a lot of chatter going on in our brains. If you ever try to be silent for, like, a day, just, like, don't talk at all, like a Buddhist monk or something, for, like, a day, you're going to realize how much is actually going on in your minds. And even if you don't do it for a full day, because, like,
Even if you do it for like five minutes, an hour.
No. Do it for like an hour where you're just silent. You're going to realize how many thoughts are going on in your mind. And it's not until you silence that until you can begin to use your other senses, like your gut and your intuition and stuff like that. But you have to silence the chatter. And so, like, for me, I meditate or I go in these, you know, weird saltwater tanks. But that gives me an opportunity to, to silence my brain.
I'm from the other side of the fence. I use saltwater taffy because it's sweet, and I like the peppermint ones and the vanilla. Actually, it's the only vanilla thing that I actually like.
You like vanilla?
Yeah, saltwater taffies are amazing.
Ken says animals love him. Exactly, they love you because you're a great person, and they can feel it immediately.
Yeah, they don't have a sense of beware. You know, they don't have a, like, I'm on guard from this person. They can sense if you fear them. Like, I don't like that dog, and the dog, like, comes at you.
Yeah.
But if I like that dog, the dog goes away.
So so we were talking about this, and then Jeffrey's like, wait, I wrote an article about that. And it's like, of course you've already thought of this. Of course you already did.
Right.
So what was your article about?
Well, I thought that there are good senses and bad senses in selling.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote here, your sixth sense. Got one? This was written 25 years ago.
And just, by the way, I had no idea.
Yeah. Your mission or your gut feelings about something, your sense of selling. Is there such a thing? So I listened to radio show and it just sparked it in my head. There were, in fact, senses that you had that you may not be aware of, but you are either feeling them or fearing them or expressing them as part of your overall process, as part of how you make a presentation or you respond to somebody. So there were a bunch of them. I just sat and just wrote about it for a while. And just by the way, this is article number 155 and 156.
Wow.
In my writing career. So I started in 92. 93, 94, 92, 93, 94. These were written in somewhere between 94 and 95.
Wow, cool. Way to go, Jeffrey.
Yeah, thanks. So the negative ones, I wrote about them first because I felt like you could overcome them with positive ones rather than write about the positive ones first and then say, well, beware the negative ones. So I'm a person who goes from negative to positive rather than from positive to negative. Got it? Okay. So I'm going to just read the, there's nine of them. Or
yeah.
9.
Let's talk about some of them that you think are the biggest ones.
I'll read them and then we can
talk. Can you guys guess any of the negative senses? Like,
yeah,
throw them in the comments if you have a guess of what one of them or a couple of them may be.
The sense of, like, I suck, or the sense, it's not in there.
Oh.
The sense of.
Well, that's like the sense of what, like rejection or something?
Well, I'll show it to you.
Okay.
Sense of fear, sense of nervousness, sense of rejection, mm-hmm. sense of reluctance, sense of procrastination, sense of justification or rationale, sense of doubt, sense of uncertainty, sense of doom, and the sense of I'm unlucky.
Ooh, I don't like that one. So these are really big ones. Like, no matter what you do, a lot of people have a sense of fear in something it is that they're doing. Like, we were talking to someone recently, and she was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to go do this. She's like looking to transition, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But if I do this, what if this happens?
Yeah.
Or what if that happens? Or what if the client doesn't get results, but I give them all the tools they need? Or what if I take this job and the culture is toxic? And it's like all these what ifs, there was so much fear.
Yep.
And so let's talk about how you can avoid fear-based decision making, and maybe first, like, how to even recognize that you're coming from a place of fear.
Well, I put remedies for each one of these.
Uh-huh.
So the sense of fear is you prepare better and build confidence with wins.
Mm.
For the sense of nervousness, I said the remedy is forget business at first and just get friendly early. No matter how big or important the sale is, if you're prepared, the nerves fade quickly.
I was working with someone last week in my coaching group, and she is an amazing woman, and she's nervous about walking into a room full of people mm-hmm. at a networking event because it can be overwhelming to, like, just launch yourself into that. And so we talked through strategies she could use if she showed up more prepared in a different way. Why are you shaking your head now?
Limited self-image. If you walk into a room and you're scared of the room, it's because you don't have confidence in yourself to be able to walk in the room and be.
So one of the things I asked her to write down was 3 to 5 reasons why people would benefit from meeting her, so that she could feel more confident about walking into that room and having them meet her, because she knows, like, Joe needs to meet me because I can help him in this way, or like I bring value. And so that would build up her self-image.
I think that people are scared about what they look like.
You think so?
Yeah. I think it's like, oh my gosh, what are they going to think of my dress? Does this make my ass look big?
I'm wearing a freaking sweatshirt today, and I'm proud that it's from Target.
Yeah, but
let me show you two one more time.
Target? Yeah. Boom. Okay, so.
Okay, like.
But here's the deal. If you walk into a place and you're afraid, it is only because you don't think much of yourself or you are unprepared. One of those two things. And you don't have, it's not like, well, I'm shy. That's bullshit. Shy is a symptom, not a problem. So I'm looking at it from the standpoint of you look in the mirror and you don't like it, or someone has already told you that you're stupid or you're ugly or whatever the circumstances are, and or you're not prepared for somebody to talk to you, ask you a question, and you give a brilliant answer. Unprepared, limited self-image.
So shy is a story you tell yourself, and we all tell ourselves different stories all the time.
But if you
change the story from I'm a shy person to I'm a person who has something of value and I need to go there and meet people and have them meet me, you can really change that story. But first you need to realize, and I know this is like maybe a little woo, I don't know. But like, shy is literally a story you tell yourself. It is a limiting belief. And there, unfortunately, we live with tons of limiting beliefs all the time. And you need to begin to identify them because they're getting in your way.
I concur, Jen. So the sense of rejection is realize that they're not rejecting you. They're only rejecting the offer that you're making them.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's not exactly true. Sometimes you are an ass and they're rejecting you as a person because you walk in, you're all cocky and you're all, well, you know, I drove 50 miles to get here. And you have a sense of rejection because you fear or you feel that someone is not going to buy into your crap.
Yeah.
Ill-prepared, way too aggressive, whatever the circumstances is, you have turned someone off to a point where they wouldn't take yes for an answer from you. That's pretty much the deal. Okay.
So I like this. So Jeremy says self-doubt is one of them, and that's totally a sense. And then he says the most wasted emotion is worry.
Ooh.
I agree with that.
So I'm looking at it as, okay, so the sense of reluctance, I refer to it as nonsense. See the remedy for procrastination and fear. The sense of procrastination is, the remedy is moments
right
of
back.
Time.
Sorry. I just have to blow my nose. Sorry.
Okay, honey. Yeah, make that announcement. God. The remedy for sense of procrastination is recognize that moments of time never return. Once you realize that the competition is not procrastinating, it may be just the bolt of lightning in the butt that you need to do something about it.
Did you say lightning?
Yeah, lightning in the butt. Oh, boom. Okay, cool. So the sense of justification or rationale is start looking to yourself as the cure rather than to others as the cause.
Ooh, I like that.
Whoa.
I like a little alliteration there.
The sense of doubt, which someone has posted about.
Jeremy, yep.
When in doubt, get out, even if it means changing careers.
Ooh.
Ooh, exactly. The sense of uncertainty is relax, have faith in the world that if you go in with good intentions, most things turn out good.
Hey, Lisa.
Oh, hey, Lisa.
You know, I think that a lot of people have a sense of uncertainty, and that leads to fear. Oh, I'm trying to fix this one hair here.
Jen.
Sorry. And that leads to fear as well. And so if you have a sense of uncertainty, you need to have a belief that everything is happening to you for a good reason. Not just for a reason, but for a good reason. And if you begin to, I don't know, write that down for yourself every day and affirm it to yourself every single day, then you'll begin to look for the opportunity in whatever's going on, even if it's bad. Like, you may be having a bad season right now. You may be having a slump right now, but there is a reason that is occurring, and you need to find the opportunity in that. There's your Monday motivation.
This one hair, I got to fix this one hair.
You know, it was like really weird, and it's backwards, so I couldn't figure it out.
Okie dokie.
These are a lot of senses, babe.
Yeah, the sense of doom.
Uh-huh.
Remedy, stop listening to the media news and talk show idiots. At last check, the sky is still blue. The sense of I'm unlucky, which basically I described in three words. Woe is you. And what you should have, had I been writing this yesterday, I would have put woo is you as opposed to woe is you. But the remedy is the harder you work, the luckier you get. Want to have the best lucky streak of your life? Just start working harder than you've ever worked before.
My dad always said that. The
yep.
harder you work, the luckier you get.
Okay, so what are the positive ones?
Hold on. So I want to talk about luck, though. All like,
right.
This is another belief thing. Like, if you believe you're unlucky, guess what? You're going to be unlucky because you're going to keep trying to prove it to yourself and over and over again. And you're going to find all the things that are lucky, and you're going to miss the things that you are lucky about. So just start believing that, like, your success is inevitable, and bless you, it's like contagious here, and that you are lucky. And if you begin to believe that, you're going to find the things that you're lucky about. Why are you shaking your head no again?
Because douchebags play the lottery. And they lose every fucking week, and they think, oh, I'm unlucky because I played the lottery and lost. Not true. Everyone, well, that's not true. Everyone, I was going to say everyone loses the lottery, but if you have several teeth that are missing, you have a chance to win $1 million. You ever seen those people that win? They smile and this tooth is gone or something. And then 2 years later, they're either dead or broke or both. Don't play the lottery. That is not a good play to measure your luck by.
No, but that's not what I mean. So I understand why you're shaking your head. That's not what I mean at all. Like, don't
Thank you.
Play the lotto. Okay, that's dumb.
Yeah.
That's a waste of money. But, like, I'll give you an example. I was at the beach in California with my business buddy, Teresa.
Well, there's a throwaway line. And what happened?
And there were, like, way too few parking spots for the amount of cars that were circling around trying to find a parking spot. And I said to her, we're going to get a spot right in front because I'm lucky. just like that. I always get it. And like literally I manifested that spot. And just as we're pulling the corner, someone's coming out. And guess what? We got a beachfront parking spot.
OMG. Okay.
But like if you start looking for the little things like that, you will begin to think you're lucky too. Because let me tell you, all these good things happen to you that are small, trivial things that like, okay, so I got a parking spot. Big effing deal. Okay. But now let's take that and take it on a bigger scale. Like this customer is going to call me back because I'm lucky like that. When you believe it, that's the kind of energy that you put out there into the world. And when you put out that kind of energy, that's what you're going to get back.
Okay, so let's come to your sales senses part two.
Ooh.
Stop. If you haven't read last week's part one, go to the
good thing we're reading it to you.
Yeah. The negative senses block your ability to focus on the positive senses, the ones that breed success.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that every negative sense has a remedy and a counterbalancing positive sense to replace it with. Pardon my Ric Flair
100%.
Okay.
100%.
So there's only 5.5 counterbalancing positive senses. I'm going to read them real quick so you know exactly what they all are, just in case you got to pee or something or you got to go. Number one, the sense of confidence.
Ooh.
Number two, the sense of positive anticipation. Number three, the sense of determination. Number four, the sense of achievement. Number five, the sense of winning. And number 5.5, the sense of success.
So how do you...
These are pretty damn good.
Yeah, they're great. When you talk about like those kinds of senses, like how do you recommend someone feel that sense of winning or that sense of success if they feel like right now they just lost a sale, they're not winning that sale, they lost the customer, you know, customer chose someone else. Like how can someone still create that sense within them?
Well, here's the deal. You go back and revisit your past wins, and you realize that what it took to do that was within you. And you bolster yourself thought into, I can win another one.
Do you guys have a win board where you write down your big wins so that you can look at them every single day?
No.
Well, you should.
Exactly. But to me, the sense of confidence has to be with caution, because sometimes it is the sense of arrogance. It's an evil twin of confidence. So I talk about being assertive rather than aggressive.
So it's like be confident, not cocky. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, don't be a jackass.
Hi, Bob.
The sense of positive anticipation is the little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can do this.
Yeah.
And so 50% of the outcome is based on mental.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more, maybe 74%. But at least half of it is mental. 90% of the game is half mental, Yogi Berra. And you have to look at it from the perspective of, I can do this. Because you've done it before. And you can't walk into a big sale or a big deal and go, oh my gosh, I sure hope I do good. No, you're going to do good because you are good. Because you're prepared and your mindset tells you, I can make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
The sense of determination, which is don't quit. Because if you hear no, you have to think of it as not yet. I talked about my sales guidance guy, who I never met until he passed away, Elmer Letterman. He said the sale begins when the customer says no. Like, that's when you start digging in. Until then, you're an order taker.
In my book, Sales in a New York Minute, I actually talk about no as standing for next opportunity. And what you need to be looking for when you get a no is the opportunity that's either within that no or the next one.
Exactly.
Elizabeth says, I think I can. I knew I could. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the sense of achievement is remember how good you felt the last time you achieved. Just bring it to mind and keep that in there as you walk into a deal or you get stuck in a deal.
It's almost like you need to bottle up that feeling, like that really good feeling. You need to put it in a bottle and keep it with you when you need it. So like when you have that great sense of achievement, why don't you write down to yourself, like journal to yourself, like what it feels like right now to have achieved this, so that next time when you're questioning achievement or feeling blue or whatever, you can go back to those really great feelings and be like, oh, this is what it was like. This is that sense of achievement. And you can bring yourself back there.
when I was finishing writing the sales Bible back in 1993, I created page separators because I was in just absolutely enthralled with the Michael Mihalko book, Thinkertoys, because all they did was print one half of the page blue, and you could look at the side of the book and go, wow, I see where all the sections are.
Yeah.
So we did the same thing with the sales Bible, where I printed a column, and in that column I had a quote in for every one of the sections. And for the sense of winning, I put in, you can't be a winner if you're a whiner, wiener. And I was in hysterics for like an hour. I put it up on the wall and I just kept laughing.
You have to show that to Gabrielle. Last night we saw a little wiener dog, like a dachshund. And I'm like, oh, it's a cute little hot dog. And she's like, Jen, you can't call it a hot dog. I'm like, well, it's a little wiener dog. Yeah. She's like, Jen, that's a bad word. I like just like spitfire. I go, only if you call your teacher one.
Exactly. So you have to have the sense of winning based on past wins. And once you have that sense, you believe that you can win them all. Now, you're not going to win them all, but you can't leave blaming the other person.
So I see that we just popped in there the Thinkertoys link. You guys, this book is like game changing. Jeffrey talks about one of the methodologies in his virtual sales seminar series. We'll pop the link to that. If you missed the first virtual sales seminar,
go get it.
Oh my God, you gotta download the recording because let me tell you, it is amazing. And when you get into it, you still have the opportunity to attend the coaching sessions. You still have the opportunity to attend the next two sales seminars live. One's about what? Attitude and belief, and the other one's about referrals. Right?
Bingo.
And you have special guest Anthony Narino, who I also love, joining. It's amazing. Well, we just popped that link in there to Thinkertoys, which is a book on creativity, and it's something that you talk about in depth in your seminar. So I highly, highly recommend those things that we
most people moan about the fact that they're not very creative and they've never read a book on creativity. It is a science. You can learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the power of observation combined with the power of thinking. And it will happen for you if you decide that you want to do, but you have to observe. In other words, your phone can cut your observation powers down because you're focused on a 2-inch screen as opposed to the rest of the world. So pay attention to the world every once in a while. You'd be amazed at what's out there. My 5.5 in this is the sense of success. And it's the hardest sense to master because you have to believe in your soul that you are successful. And I don't want to get too deep into this, but I end this thing with is the sense of positive purpose.
Mm.
So you know in your soul that you're helping other people, not simply making a sale. You know that you're creating some kind of value. You have to believe in your heart that the customer is better off having purchased from you. And if you believe that, you're going to win. And if you don't, you're going to lose. Now, I'm going to read this.
Okay.
Earl Nightingale, in his legendary tape, you can tell when that was written, The Strangest Secret says, you become what you think about. Truer words have never been spoken. But the secret to The Strangest Secret is it's a dedicated self-discipline that must be practiced every day. How close to every day are you? The most interesting aspect of The Strangest Secret is that it contains the counterbalance to turn all of your destructive sentences into constructive ones by employing the strongest sense of them all. Common sense.
Ooh.
Ooh. Is that good or what?
Emily Green just joined us, you guys. Emily is an expert on dogs. So, Emily, you should go back to the beginning because we actually talked about the sixth sense that dogs have and how that relates to your sales sense. But, you guys, if you need any help with your dog, oh my God, you got to talk to Emily.
Yeah. Or talk to your dog. Because Charlie went to the vet yesterday all day. I said, Charlie, how did it go? She goes, rough. She knew what happened. You don't like that?
Oh my God. Oh man. Okay, well, on that note, you guys, I hope you have a very successful, very productive, amazing week. But I think we have to go.
Yeah, we definitely have to go.
All right, until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and have confidence enough to make a sale, even if your ass falls off. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.